join us as we open the Word of God to get more deeply grounded and learn about the abundant life available to all through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Question this morning, how many ministers do we have in the house this morning? If you're a minister, would you raise your hand? Some of you are catching on. Yeah, I really would have loved to have seen every hand go up, right? Listen to 1 Peter 2:9. But you, all of you, are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Did you know you're a royal priesthood? A holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let me read another passage, Ephesians 4:11 and 12. This time out of the King James Version. I like how it words it. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. So this group of people, they are gifted by God too, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So you all are the ones that are doing the work of the ministry. You're ministers. And so when the Apostle Paul writes about his experiences of ministry, that's applicable to you as well. You will go through and feel some of the same things that the Apostle Paul felt. And they really are common human emotions. You can experience them at home, at church, at work, at school, everywhere really. And when you're ministering to people, and you know this is a fact, most of the time it's really good, isn't it? I mean, isn't there great joy when you see a new believer growing in Christ or someone coming to the faith entirely? Wow, there's no feeling like that. It's so wonderful. Or they start using their gift and they're serving and ministering. That's so great. But sometimes you might have a bad experience. Probably my hardest emotional experiences have been in ministry. I like to say you get 1,000 paper cuts and a couple swords to the gut. You know, it can be tough when you're betrayed. It can be tough when you've invested years into someone and they just leave without a goodbye. That's tough. Maybe you've experienced that. Let's look at our text today. The Apostle Paul is going to share his heart with the people. 1 Thessalonians 2:17 through 3:9. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. We sent Timothy, our brother, and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in the faith. In your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you, for this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God? The thought continues as he goes into prayer, and I want to look at that next week, so I'm going to stop there. Five emotions of ministry that Paul experienced here, that you will experience as you minister to others. The first is intense longing. Intense longing. Paul mentions that emotion in 2:17 and 18, 3:1, 5:6, 10, and 11. So let me ask you this morning, what are you intense about? Sports? Right? College football's just started. Maybe you're intense about that. How about chocolate? Intense about chocolate? Your kids? God? Maybe people. How about people? You probably have intense longing about people. And this desire, this intense longing for people, grows out of, Paul mentions several things here. Letter A is times when you're apart. You feel that intense longing when you're apart. And in verse 17, Paul tells us that he was forced out of Thessalonica, and he uses a word there for mental anguish that literally means orphaned. Paul has talked previously about being a nursing mother, a firm father, and now he talks about being a child, an orphan. And the technical term there in the Roman world was a foundling. He said, I'm a foundling. Now, in the Roman world, the Roman dad, when a baby was born, had a decision to make whether that child would be kept and accepted in the home or not. If the father decided not to keep the child was abandoned in the city square. And this was a ministry of Christians. They would often come along and pick up that child and take that child home and raise that child. But we can feel that way. If a good friend, a friend of many years, moves away, or your child goes to the first grade and, you know, maybe you see them get on the bus and they're going away for the first time, or your firstborn child goes off to college for the first time and you're missing them, or in the older days, your husband went off to war, or your child gets married and moves away and has kids and the grandchildren are far away, you long to see them. Letter B, times when you try again and again. He tried over and over again, he said here. Have you ever tried to do something over again? He wanted to go back. It says he tried again and again. That word shows zeal and effort. He truly did make the effort. He wanted to see them, and he tried hard. And maybe you really tried hard to mend a friendship that's been broken. And you've tried. It just hasn't happened because letter C, Satan stops you. Times when Satan stops you. You have this intense longing, but he's put up a roadblock and now you're frustrated. He hinders you from doing what you desire. Maybe hinders you from seeing someone that you want to see. He tells you, it's no use seeing that person. They really don't want to see you. They really don't want to hear what you have to say. I can remember a long time ago as a brand new Christian in the fellowship I was a part of. There was this young woman in particular. You could see that she had a heart for ministry. She wanted to reach out, but she became conscious of her weight. And so that began to hinder her. I began to see, well, she didn't stand up and minister anymore. And then just didn't see her anymore. And it was like Satan won. Letter D. Times when you can stand it no longer. Paul expresses that there. I call it a Popeye moment. Remember Popeye? He said, that's all I can stands. And I can't stands it anymore. So God's been talking to you maybe. Maybe it's about being more involved in the church. Maybe joining a Sunday school class or joining the church. Or maybe it's to pray more, deepen your prayer life, or to teach that kid's Sunday school class, or to give more. And maybe you've been resisting, but at some point, you're not able to resist the urging and appealing of the Holy Spirit any longer. He's turned up the volume. You've got to do something. You are experiencing a Popeye moment. So how did Paul deal with his Popeye moment, his intense longing? It says that he sent Timothy, and another text adds, and Silas, to go to Thessalonica. And you can read about that in Acts 18, verse 5. He sent them to strengthen and encourage the believers there while he remained on in Athens. The critics in Thessalonica have been telling the Christians there, Paul left you. You see, he really doesn't care about you. And I wondered if this has something to do with Jason's bond. Remember, we read that in Acts, that he was released on bond. Maybe there was some sort of promise not to return. We really don't know. But Satan stopped Paul somehow from going back and seeing them. So he sends Timothy and Silas, and they bring back a good report, and they bring back questions to Paul, who's now in Corinth, and which he writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in answer to the questions that Timothy and Silas brought back to him. Okay, let's look at another emotion. Fear. And we see that in chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Paul talks about that. Have you ever been afraid? Probably have. There are a lot of things to be afraid of. The dark. Afraid of relationships. Relationships can be scary. You can get hurt, let down, disappointed, lied to, gossiped about. Most of the time, fear is a bad thing. But sometimes fear is good. Like if you're being chased by a lion, I'd say that's a pretty reasonable fear. Paul had two fears concerning them that he mentions here in our text. Letter A, that they had fallen. He was afraid of that. He says, maybe the tempter got to you. The tempter tempted you. And later, I think it's in verse 7, but it may be further down, he says, it hurts my heart when I hear that Christians no longer are walking with the Lord. And I say, amen to that. Yes, that's very painful. That hurts when someone has turned away from God. The tempter got to them. He tricked them. He tripped them up. And they're no longer in the faith. Paul already experienced this in Galatia. Let me read three verses from the book of Galatians. 3:1, he says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who put a spell on you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. In 4:20, he says, I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. In Galatians 5:4, this is really strong. He says, you are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. He was afraid that that same thing would be happening in Thessalonica, because these people are now being persecuted. Would they deny the Lord? Would they walk away from the Lord? Would they feel abandoned by Him and turn their back on Him? Paul was concerned. This is a new church. These are brand new Christians. They're under attack. But Paul is encouraged that God is holding them together. And letter B, that he had failed them. This was a fear of Paul's, that in verse 5 he says that our efforts might have been useless. Paul didn't know. Had he made a difference? Oftentimes when you're ministering to people, they don't change. We don't always change. Maybe they leave church mad. Maybe they backslide. And as the minister, official minister, or people who are out there ministering, you wonder, did I do enough? I wrestle with that a lot. I always think, oh, I wish I was a better leader. I wish I was more spiritual. You know what? You're never going to get hurt if you're not in the game. And if you're in the game, you will get hurt. You may lose, but you also may win. And that's what makes it worth it. That is great. What other emotion does the Apostle Paul feel that he expresses here that you may feel? Encouragement is the third one. Encouragement. We see that in verses 6 and 7. Now, the New Testament has a lot of different words for comfort and encourage. But the word here, it's an interesting word. It's the word evangelion. That's where we get the word evangelism. And it means good news or the gospel. And there's only two times in the New Testament that that word evangelion isn't used in that context of the sharing the good news of the gospel. And this is one of those times. It just means good news or a good report. Paul got the good news about them being strong in the faith. Let me read this little story to you from the book Another Chance by Dean Merrill. He tells the story of a professional man. So here's a white-collar worker who lost his job. He took work as a hod carrier. If you don't know what that is, you'll find out. simply to put bread on the table. He was suddenly plunged into a drastically different world. Instead of going to an office each day, he was hauling loads of concrete block up to the fifth level of a construction site. Profanity shot through the air, especially from the foreman, whose primary tactics were whining, cursing, and intimidation. He'd become the butt of more than one joke when his lack of experience caused him to do something foolish. The stories were retold constantly thereafter. Near the end of the third week, the new employee felt he could take it no more. "I just can't handle any more of this." A little while later, he decided to finish out the morning and then leave at lunchtime. Shortly before noon, the foreman came around with paychecks. As he handed the man his envelope, he made his first civil comment to him in 3 weeks. He said, "Hey, there's a woman working in the front office who knows you. She says she takes care of your kids sometimes." "Who?" He named the woman who sometimes helped in the nursery of the church where the man and his family worship. The foreman then went on with his rounds. When the hod carrier opened his envelope, he found, along with his check, a handwritten note from the payroll clerk. "When one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it. Just wanted to let you know that I'm praying for you these days." He stared at the note, astonished at God's timing. He hadn't even known the woman worked for this company. Here at his lowest hour, she had given him the courage to go on to push another wheelbarrow of mortar up that ramp. Encouraging people. Man, it's so important. As you watch the people in your world, who needs encourage? Somebody does. We all do from time to time. So I encourage you, enjoy your friendships. That's what life's all about. Paul loved the Thessalonians. He feared that they had believed an evil report about him, but they hadn't. In fact, they loved him and were longing to see him. And that was such good news to his heart. He felt so happy and joyful. He was glad that they were doing well. What's another emotion that he felt? Distress. He talks about that in 3, 7, and 8. Maybe you feel distressed this morning. In stress. You're stressed out. Why was Paul feeling distress? Because they were being persecuted. They had run him out of town, and now his enemies had turned on them. These people were facing all kinds of persecution, physical, mental, emotional, social. He was wondering, will this young church make it? How did he cope? He tells us here how he coped. Two ways. Letter A. He knows suffering is our destiny. That's not a word we want to hear. But he says it right there in 3:3. Let me give you three other passages in the New Testament where we find that out. Jesus said in John 16:33, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." In Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And one more place, 2 Timothy 3:2. "For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy." It's like that's the world we live in. The gospel, the New Testament, it's very clear. Suffering, persecution is our lot. Paul isn't being fatalistic, which leads to despair. He's being realistic. But he knows that that kind of persecution will lead to character growth. It will lead to hope. God allows these things in our lives that where we suffer to bring good out of them that could not come any other way. And Paul knows that. Letter B, he allowed himself to be encouraged. He allowed himself to be encouraged. He was positive. You know, look on the bright side. A cheerful heart has a continual feast. Some people are just negative. Or they're under stress and they become negative. And you can't encourage them. You try hard to lift them up, to give them Bible verses, but they just won't allow themselves to be encouraged. But Paul allows himself to be encouraged, and that's a good thing. More drugs, alcohol, food, or money are not going to make you feel better. What's the last emotion Paul expresses here? And that one is joy. Joy. Paul was distressed, but joyful. And these two do go together. When did Paul have joy? Letter A. Now, in people. Are you surprised by that? Aren't people the ones who are a big pain in the neck and make life hard? Sometimes. But they also bring the most joy. Think back to when your children were born. Wasn't that the most joy you ever felt in your heart? There's no joy like it. 3 John 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Amen. As a pastor, I could say that. Yes, that brings me the most joy. People bring joy. You bring me joy. And letter B, then in rewards. Back to chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, he says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. There are two words for crown in the New Testament. Diadem, which is what kings wear, and Stephanos, which means the victor's crown. And that's the word here, the victor's crown. So Paul is in Corinth when he's writing the Thessalonians, as he writes chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. He's in Corinth. Maybe going on at the same time. He was there 18 months, so certainly he would have experienced the Isthmian Games, they were called. They took place in Corinth. They were bigger than the Olympics. Paul loved sports metaphors. He just loved to use sports to make a point. He saw the victor's crown. He was probably at these races. And when someone won the race or won the strength event, whatever it was, they were given a crown made of flowers, basically weaving flowers together. And the winner would put that on his or her head. But we know that flowers fade, but not the victor's crown. His crown was them, people. So the one who does ministry, your crown lasts forever. People in heaven. So I encourage you to share your faith so people will get saved and be in heaven. Will anyone be in heaven because of you and your influence? Maybe because you helped them, encourage them to grow spiritually, or maybe you prayed for them. People are your crown, your joy, your reward, and there's no greater joy. Let's pray. Thank you for this passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul is just so open and honest. He shares his heart with them, wears his emotions on his sleeve, as it were. And we can see that. And that helps us relate when we have these various emotions, from deep longing to distress to joy to encouragement to fear. Lord, we can experience the gamut as well in life and in ministry. May this passage, Lord, be your word to us, especially those who are experiencing some deep emotions today. I pray that you would minister to them, to their heart, to give them your peace, your joy, to keep hanging in there, persevering. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit here. And thank you for the ministry of us outward to our church and to our community. May it continue and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening today. I hope this helped you experience Jesus more deeply.